I've been there in the lowest of times. I've had questions in my mind, I've been scared. But I know that I have a Savior who knows right where I am and hears my prayer. In the midst of all the problems and burdens of this life, I will call upon one to get me through the night. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. I don't know how the story will end. I didn't see this in the plan has for me, but I know that I can trust in the one who's working all things for my good. Though I may not know the answers till I reach the other side, I will keep my eyes on Jesus till my faith becomes sight. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. Lord, you're greater than my problems, greater than my fears. You are greater than my weakness, greater than my tears. You never let me down. You are here with me right now. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, Lord, help me.
Help me
when the waves are crashing round. May I keep my eyes on you. Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through. You are the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. The middle of my
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Do you hear me? Am I clear? Okay, thank you. So, we will be having the Lord's Supper today. And before we proceed to the meal, we will have our sermon. And before we go to the sermon, we will I ask you all to kneel for prayer, if you can. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we continue to ask your holy presence as we proceed to this sermon hour. Please send your Holy Spirit to guide us. Thank you for blessing the children's study as well as the adult study that we have earlier. And we also pray to bless and prepare our hearts as we have our Lord's Supper today. I also ask you to please bridle my tongue as I continue to speak in your behalf. Please forgive us, Father, for all the sins we have committed against thee. And may you grant us peace and joy as we worship you this Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the best of our ability in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. So today is October 14, 2023, and for those who are in the W2PR, I'll post the link here for our sermon notes. Okay, just type in to your browser the URL sdrmovement.note/10/14/22.html. Okay. So our sermon topic is entitled Love One Another. Someone asked me a while ago, what does loving one another as Christ love us entail? He says, it must be more than just forgiving as Christ forgave us. It seems easy to answer yes right away, but the more I think about it and study what the Lord says about it, the more I realize that loving one another has a deeper meaning than forgiving as Christ forgave. So what does it mean to love one another? And how can we practice it? Before we answer that, let us first look at God's love. In 1 John 4:16, it declares the divine nature of God. It says, and we have known and believe that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. These three simple words provided more sweetness than the whole world can bring. This word expresses more affection than the entire world. God is always described as holy, righteous, and wise, but God is said to be love. Why? Because it is his favorite quality and the one that dominates him. Love is what dominates him and gives a lovely glow to his other qualities. In 1 John 4:7-9, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So God's act of sending his only begotten Son shows how great was the love of God toward us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the most popular verse in the Bible, right? Because it is so full of love. God is love. So everyone who truly loves God and his neighbor is a child of God. God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, for love is of God. So loving one another is God's command, his revealed will, and it pleases Him greatly. It was a gift of grace to us. This is the fruit of His Holy Spirit, and it teaches us how to live a pure life. Loving one another is a sign of renewal, evidence of how God has changed us. And because of His immense love for us, we may confidently expect anything from Him. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So what did Jesus have to say about those who love Him? In John 14:21 says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I love him, and will manifest myself to him. 1 John 3:1, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Despite our fallen nature and condemnation, we are called the sons of God, the children of God, and we are given such great hope in Christ, a very large, very tender gesture of the Father's love. Why? Because we keep His commandments. Living in sin, living in impurity, contradicts this love and hope. To be sanctified is to walk daily toward purity, love, and a clear conscience before God until we reach the character perfection that the Lord desires for us to achieve with His help. In Romans 8:14-16, it says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All who are in Christ Jesus feel the wonderful comfort of being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwells within us gives us power against sin, grace to free us from sin, supports us in our service, assurance, and inspiration to obey and even pray. So, how is the love of God supplied to the believer? God's love is supplied by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When men appreciate God's love, they will put their trust in Him. Psalms 36:7 says, How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. So in view of God's great love for us, we should love one another. 1 John 4:11, Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. And in Ephesians 5:2, we are given counsel based on Christ's love when He says, And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ's love must govern our entire Christian walk. Jesus showed us how to walk in love. In John 13:34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And then in 35 it says, he added, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have loved one another." So love one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. And in this verse, one another refers to our fellow Christians, to our brothers and sisters. This is our identifying mark in the world as followers of Christ, as a remnant of our seed. We care deeply for our brethren. And this is something John, the Apostle John, reminds us of in 1 John 4:21. "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." When Jesus taught the disciples to love one another on the night of the Lord's Supper, they did not understand, since they were motivated by selfish or personal gain at the time. Look, Peter was so certain that he would lay down his life to follow him. But Jesus forewarned him that he would betray him. You can read that in John 13:36-38. John 13:36-38 says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." See? There's the self-confidence of Peter. But after witnessing Christ's sufferings, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, as well as receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, all these disciples, all these early Christians, they learned and understood God's love and how to love one another better. And when the disciples went out to proclaim a living Savior after Pentecost, their primary mission was to save souls. And they enjoyed the fellowship of the saints. The early church showed the kind of love that Jesus described. They come from all over the place. In Acts 2:9-11, Acts 2:9-11, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So those who had been saved banded together and immediately began meeting each other's needs. In Acts 2:42-47, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. and all that believe were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. This was tackled earlier in the study. Remember Barnabas? He sold everything for what? Helping spread the truth. Verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be safe. Because of its unity and love, the early Christian church was kind. They were loving, courteous, self-sacrificing, and willing to give up all for the sake of the truth, for spreading the gospel. They were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. They show Christ's love in their daily interactions with one another, and they aim to cultivate this love in the hearts of others by selfless words and deeds. By giving this command to love one another, Christ established a church, a people whose identifying feature is love. L-O-V-E. Love. Majority of churches nowadays claim to be Christian while following their own teachings that contradict Bible truth. Like the prophesied Isaiah 4:1, you know, the professing Christians in the last days, and we are in the last days. But the true church of God is distinct. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says here the remnant of her seed is what? A peculiar. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Although coming from diverse families and cultures, we speak different languages. You know, English is my second language. I'm a Filipino. Tagalog. We have different skin colors, but we are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar, a special church. Why? Because we are identified not only by our love for God, but also by loving our neighbor. And when we keep God's commandments. But the world, on the other hand, will misinterpret our unshakable faith and devotion, because our example of Christ's love will be labeled as hatred. We will be branded as terrorists later on when we preach against homosexuality, against Sunday keeping, climate change. We expose the sins of Babylon, because they all lead in breaking God's law. We will offend many people, even in our household. Why? Because we proclaim the Bible truth, the last message of mercy. But for the true and honest souls, these are good news. A gospel of salvation, and they will be added to our numbers because they recognize God's voice. Imagine this in 1 John 3:11-12. 1 John 3:11-12. Why did Cain murder Abel? What is the reason for this? It says here, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Okay? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So, my dear brothers and sisters, from the beginning, the Lord instructed us to love one another, even during the time of Cain and Abel. Abel was killed by his brother because he was good and righteous, whereas Cain could not take the side of Abel because Abel's actions offended him. He's always rebuked by his lifestyle. In reality, all good and righteous Christians have been persecuted from the start because they are good and righteous before God. 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And how did Jesus come to love us? In Romans 5:8, it says, But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus' love is unconditional. Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, these are the culmination of his amazing love for us. In 1 John 4:9-11, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So, we are to always cherish such love and continue to follow the new commandment willingly. To love one another entails more than just this five list that I'm gonna say. I listed five, but this is just a few. Number one, to love one another is by keeping and agreeing together in truth. Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Think about this. Why are we here? We don't know each other. We come from different places, and most of us haven't even seen each other. Right? Yet, why are we here together? As if we are closer than our relatives who are not in the faith. Because of the truth, my dear brothers and sisters. The truth, the present truth, bonded us together. The truth united us in our love. The second way how to love one another is by confessing faults and praying one for another. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why it's so a blessing, really, you know, on this truth. When we offended someone, when we know we offended someone, we confess heartily, because it is an honor. We pray for one another. That's why we have this Telegram group, the SDR Prayer Warriors. Why? Because the prayer of the obedient is powerful. Because we love one another. The other one is by forbearing and forgiving one another. This is another way how to love one another. In Ephesians 4:2 and 32, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And also in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We overlook one another's infirmities because we know we have our own weaknesses to overcome. And if we offended somebody, we forgive. We empathize, helping each other's burden as far as we can, because of pure love, but not to the extent that we will tolerate, we will excuse sin on our brother or sister, because that is a false love. And that is why to love one another is by admonishing one another, found in Romans 15:14, it says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. The word admonish also means caution, reprove gently, and warn. That's why in Proverbs 27:5, it says, open rebuke is better than secret love. So we show our love to our brothers and sisters by giving advice, by giving counsel, even rebuke, warning if it is needed. But how we do it? In gentle and kindly manner, not with harshness or with holier than thou attitude. To love one another is by edifying one another in faith, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The word edify, it means build up. According to Jude 1:20, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We encourage and give commendation, praises, when a brother or a sister deserve it. But we don't flatter anybody. No flattery, for this is not wise. We always speak and tell the truth. We strengthen each other's faith by conversing about the heavenly themes and avoiding all corrupt communications. So you see, these are just five ways on how to love one another. But there should be more as far as the Word of God is concerned. That's why in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In 1 Peter 1:22, it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. As Christ loved us, not only in word, but also in deed and in truth. So, we should love one another with a pure heart and serve one another with brotherly love. So, how then can we love as Christ loved? Again, we must have Christ within us through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We can love like Christ through obeying the Spirit through the Word of God. We give steadfast, sincere, forgiving love to our fellow Christians in the church. But this is not the end of it. We also show Christ's love to our friends, to our family members, to our co-workers, even to our schoolmates, among others. In Ephesians 5:18-21, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And in Galatians 5:16 and 22-23, then, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Yes, Christ's love is for all, and extended even to his enemies. In Matthew 5:43-48, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. You see, the frontliners, you are receiving a lot of hates. Why? Because we are what? Preaching the truth. But we love them. We pray for them. Why in 45 it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you,
What reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And look in verse 48, what is said here. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So this is a sign of perfection, my dear brothers and sisters. The love of Christ, which we demonstrate, is not the same as the love of the world or flesh, which can be overbearing, selfish, unforgiving, and insincere. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it provided us a genuine depiction of Christ's love and the way we walk with the Spirit. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. People today, they lack the genuine love mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. A transformation of heart is required to have that kind of love. We must acknowledge that we are sinners before God and recognize that Christ was crucified and resurrected to grant us pardon, forgiveness. And as a result, we choose Christ as our personal Savior. And at that moment, we accept Him. We are forgiven by Christ and receive God's gift of eternal life. In reality, we become a partaker of the divine nature according to 2 Peter 1 verse 4. 2 Peter 1 verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And because we have been forgiven, we are also instructed not to sin again. In John 8:11, he said, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But if we have sinned, we have this promise in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that God loves us because of Christ. We have the ability to love as Christ loves because Jesus now dwells in our hearts with God's unconditional and unselfish love. Finally, the spirit of prophecy emphasizes more the love one another quality among us. In September 2, 1897, letter 10, we are told, my brethren, in your genuine unity is your strength. There is a great work before us. Those who believe the truth, present truth for this time, are few. That's why we are called remnant. Let this be bound together in bonds of closest Christian fellowship, to strengthen one another. Let them stand shoulder to shoulder, hearts blended together in oneness and bound up with Jesus Christ. That sympathy, that tender regard for one another, that brings the blessing of God, that blends all together in God, has not been cherished. There is to be no exalting of self one above another. Union is enjoined by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to stand as brothers, our hearts knit with the hearts of our fellow laborers. Selfishness and pride hinder the pure love that unites us in spirit with Jesus Christ. And if this love is truly cultivated, finite will blend with finite, and all will center in the infinite. Humanity will unite with humanity, and all will be bound up with the heart of infinite love. Sanctified love for one another is sacred. And in this great work, Christian love for one another, far higher, more constant, more courteous, more unselfish than has been seen, preserves Christian tenderness, Christian benevolence and politeness, and enfolds the human brotherhood in the embrace of God, acknowledging the dignity with which God has invested the rights of man. This dignity Christians must ever cultivate for the honor and glory of God. To love one another is to love our brothers and sisters in the faith, just as Christ loves us. And when we love like Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are showing a strong evidence that we are the remnant, the disciples and true followers of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King who is coming soon. I hope and pray that you are blessed. And before we proceed to the ordinance of foot washing, which is the service of humility, I will grab this moment to humbly ask your forgiveness, my dear brothers and sisters, including my family, Janisa. Please forgive us. Please forgive me if I have unknowingly offended someone who are present here or anybody. Please, let us know. And with that, let us conclude the first part of the Lord's Supper program, and then we will take a 15-minute break. And for those who are new in our church here, the reason for the 15-minute break, as you know, is because we will have the foot washing, which is a symbol of service of humility. So, let's see. The time now is 2:27 on my watch. So, we will resume. What time? 27. We will resume on 2:45. Huh? Okay. And then we will partake of the Lord's Supper meal. And following this, you will hear a worship music to be played by Brother Dwayne. Thank you, Brother Dwayne, while we are washing each other's feet. So I will see you next in about 15 minutes. Love you all.
He called me Master Lord, and he say well. He called me Master Lord, and he say well. So if I then your Lord and Master wash your feet, He also ought to wash one another's feet. He
Holy Master, and ye say well. He called me Master Lord, and ye say well. And for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master Lord, and he say well. He called me Master Lord, and he say well. So, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is greater than he that is in him. He called me Master Lord, and he say well. He called me Master Lord, and he say well.
I'm so blessed, my Lord, I can
I can see you, Lord, whenever I myself. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, for my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin at all, not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood.
All right, we're back. Let's keep going on, my dear brothers and sisters. And before that, I really like to praise the Lord. He's so awesome this Sabbath day. I really can feel His presence in this church. He's sending His love to each one of us. It's like the, you know, we're really expecting
And the promise 10 times the power of the latter rain, my dear father, brethren. So, yeah, let's keep on being united in love and in truth. So anyway, we are going to read 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. And you have to be ready with your juice and your bread. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Okay, 23 first. It says here, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So the ordinance of the Lord's Supper was established on Thursday evening, as you know. This is the night before Christ's betrayal. And in 1 Corinthians 11:24, we will continue, you know, the 1 Corinthians 11:24. It says here, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So the unleavened bread symbolized the body of Christ. That's why in verse 25 it says, in verse 25, same book, 1 Corinthians 11:25, "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The wine represents the blood of Christ. So once again, the unleavened bread represents Christ's broken body, and the wine of the pure and fermented grape juice, which symbolizes the blood spilled at the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. And in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So, as we partake of this Holy Supper, we are reminded of the promise that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will return to take us to heaven to spend eternity with him. And finally, before we have this, we have the supper, please remember what Jesus longs to do in person with us in heaven, when he said in Matthew 26:29, it says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And with that, we will pray for the bread and the unfermented wine or grape juice before we eat. So I invite you all to kneel down if you can. We will pray for the bread and the wine. Let us pray. Dear Holy Father, please bless this bread and wine, which represent the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, and we honor his sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for your amazing grace, for your unfailing love for us, for dying for us when we were still sinners. Thank you for the great privilege you have bestowed upon us, as well as the spiritual food you supplied, so that we may continue to serve you to the best of our abilities,
through Christ who strengthens us. And we are overjoyed and genuinely desire to be in that kingdom where Jesus, our King, our God, and our Redeemer, will share the fruit of the vine with us face to face. Thank you so much, Father, for cleansing us from our sins. For we pray in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I will request you to please stay on your knees. And we're going to read Matthew 26:26. Before eating the bread, Jesus said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" And so, we begin to eat the bread. Please eat the bread. So now, let us continue by reading the rest of Matthew 26, verses 27 to 28, and before we start to drink the wine. It says here, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" And with that, we drink the wine. Please drink the unfermented wine. Okay, so finally in Matthew 26, verse 30, we read, "And when they had sung on him, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So we will close our service with a song, followed by a closing prayer. Praise the Lord. Brother Dwayne, thank you so much.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon where one multiplied to me. There my burden sold for liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was grace and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold my liberty at Calvary. Now I'm giving to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was grace and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden stole my liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul was liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Yeah, we should be hearing more of Pastor Nick and Sister Fran singing. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I invite you again to pray for closing. Just kneel down again, if you can. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Our words cannot express how grateful we are for your compassion, your mercy, your love and salvation that you have provided for us. You are truly wonderful and gracious. We give honor and glory to the Godhead family because you deserve all of these things. Thank you for becoming a part of your children who will inherit eternal life. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be the controlling power in our lives. We ask for the large measure of the latter rain, the 10 times power you have promised to your church. Please, Father, help us in preparing for your kingdom. Please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day. All of this we pray in the name of our loving Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.